a church that we go to. I was at last night. I've been there several times through the past. And how many of you know that when people are pillars in the church, you learn people? Can you say amen? And you can depend on them for what they do. And this man, he has never been a really outward, exuberant person with his spirituality. He's not shouting and hollering and dancing. And he's not very vocal with what he does, you know, and that sort of thing. And last night, the Lord spoke to me and told me that he had a back problem. And he come up with the back problem. And when he was there, the Lord healed him. He healed that back right there. And another lady had come up at the same time because the Lord hadn't designated to me which one it was. There were two of them. And she came up then at the same time. And the Lord told me to ask this man, would he give her his blessing? Now, how many of you know when you've been hurting and God heals you, it's hard to give it to somebody else? Come on now. Talk about giving. We're talking about giving. We're talking about giving. Giving is just not confined to money. Okay? It's confined to the blessings that God puts in your life to share with somebody else. And I asked him, I said, are you willing to give it to him? And he said, yes, I am. And I said, well, put your hand on her head and pray for it. And he did. And all of a sudden, I seen him flex a little bit. And when he got through, she just had herself a time because the Lord healed her right then. And then I turned and I looked at him and I said, how many of you know you'll never be in debt to God? He said, amen. I said, and God's going to give you a double portion now. And I saw that man turn loose last night that I hadn't seen in years. He was out of it. I thought we were going to have to drive him home from church. He was so drunk on the Spirit of the Lord. And when I went out the door, he was just beaming. I never seen him like that before. God has a way of giving if you cast it out there. But how many of us, when your back's been hurting for a week and God heals it, I am not any crazy about giving it away. Can you say amen, somebody? But how many of you know God did it and that's all that mattered and that was the thing that counted is our obedience unto God. I got to see a miracle and as a result of it, and God is blessed and touched. So don't be afraid to give other things than your money. Yes, we concentrate on money because that is so prevalent in our world and it's something we can all relate to quite easily, you know. But at the same time there, you have somebody's miracle in your hand. Amen. All you got to do is turn it loose and give it to them in the name of Jesus. The prophet came to the little lady and she was dying. Her and her son was dying. And he said, you've got my miracle. I'm out here. I just come from the birds feeding me. So, you know, and said, here I am out here with you. And said, you've got my miracle in your hand. Go in there and cook that last little loaf and give it, bring it to me. Now, how many of you know that's a lot of giving? Can you say amen? But it not only was it a miracle for him, but a miracle for her. So don't be afraid of what God does for you. Don't be afraid to turn it loose for somebody else and let God bless them. Can you say amen, somebody? Give the Lord a good hand clap now. It's good to be back with you guys. Amen. I'm in Numbers chapter 13. Last Sunday when I was here, pastor got up teaching Sunday school and she said, war, blessing, and warfare. Scotty got up behind her and preached, blessing, and warfare. My brother got up teaching Sunday school this morning and what was he saying? Blessing and warfare. How many of you know that the blessing and the warfare go together? Can you say amen? All right. Keeping that in mind, let's look at chapter 13, 1, 2, and 3. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I gave unto the children of Israel. By every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. Let's pray. Father, thanking you for the opportunity to stand before your children, but asking you now in the name of Jesus, so it's again, to hide me behind the cross of Calvary, that those looking would see your Son, he being high and lifted up, that he would draw all men unto himself. Confirm your word today with signs and wonders. We'll give you the praise, the glory, and the honor for it all. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen and amen. I want to talk to you for a few minutes tonight and ask you the question, are you ready to cross over? Amen. We're headed for Canaan's land. Can you say amen? Are you ready to fight for it? Hallelujah. And that's the thing that about it. Now here we realize at this particular time, I did some work on it. And at this particular time, the children of Israel, it was 200 miles from the where they left in Egypt till they got to where they are at, here at when God said send the spies over to spy out the land the first time. Amen. Not Joshua, but him. Amen. As a result of it now, it was 200 miles in territory. And I don't know how far Birmingham is from here, but my house to Birmingham is 100 miles. Amen. And so there and back, and they didn't go there and back, but 200 miles to me is not a lot. Amen. I mean, I can jump in my car and I can cut 100 miles and preach and be back home by midnight type thing. And it took them 11 months and 5 days to make that transition from there to get to where God is going to show them the promised land. In other words, they're at that point to where they've got there and they've heard about it for 400 years. They can see it across over there. And God tells Moses, all of a sudden, he tells Moses, said, send them over there and let them walk the land and see and come back and report about it. Amen. Now, the thing that got me started was the fact that I wanted to know how they got across the river. Amen. In other words, when Joshua took them across, God divided the water. But when they went over, when God sent them over, it doesn't say how they got over, whether they swam or walked, or country boys walked a foot log. I don't know how they did it. But they went across, and they had to get over there on their own. Amen. The God had said it, but it took their feet, it took their determination to get across to see that land. And when they got over there, they found out it was everything God said it was. They came back with grapes big as gourds. Amen. They came back and declared, we'll get to that in a few minutes, that it is truly everything God said it was. Amen. And as a result of it, then they turned around and said, but we saw something there that means we're going to have to fight for it. Amen. How many of you know every promise of God comes in two portions, the blessing part and the conflict part? Just as sure as God gives you a promise this morning, the devil's going to challenge you on it, going to fight unto you on it. My brother was talking about worry. That's warfare. Can you say amen? The devil trying to come in and do your number on you, and you've got to learn to get up. If you want the blessing, you've got to learn to fight. Say amen, somebody. For years now, listen, for the last 15 years or so, the last 18 or so, we have heard so much on name it, claim it, grab it, and blab it. Amen? We have been taught that if you want your newspaper brought in, it's raining, don't go, just speak to God, talk the word, and he'll go get it and bring it to you. Come on, somebody, now. Y'all hadn't been around long as I have. It was sweeping the country, amen? As a result of it, but we have found out something now that it's more than God doing it, that we have a choice in it too. Now, they have taken and left Egypt. They've come up for 200 miles, and that 200 miles, 10 times, they took and agonized and upset God, amen? At one point, he was going to kill every one of them. Can you say amen? And Moses talked him out of it. At the same time, they got 10 miracles during that time. They had seen all the miracles of Egypt there was. They had seen the death angel walk. They had seen the frogs come. They knew what God could do, and right in the middle of it, and now they've took a 200-mile trip. God is adjusting their mentality and their thinking. They're slaves. They're not used to having to make decisions on their own. Amen. I see people in church like that. They won't ask me what God wants for me. I don't know what God wants for you unless he tells me, but I'll tell you one thing. You ask him and he'll tell you. Amen. And it's time we woke up and got up. Where do I fit in this kingdom? What am I in this kingdom for? And move forward with God in the name of Jesus. Everybody in here has a ministry. Everybody in here has something, a miracle to give somebody. So get up, get about the Father's business, and watch what happens in your own life also. Amen. Now, as a result of it, they go over, and God wants them, number one, to walk the land. Why is it that Brother Scotty can preach a promise on Sunday morning and Monday morning, I got to walk it? Can you say amen? Amen? In that day and time, the land, promised land, was given in land. With you and I, we see promises. Amen. Brother Scotty preaches a promise, and I say, whoop, that's for me. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden, then the warfare takes place to keep me from entering into what God is. All of a sudden, the devil tells you, you can't do it. You got to worry about it. You're not going to make it. Friend, you got to battle that battle and stand your ground, and God will see. He wants you to walk in that promise. He wants you to see the blessing of that promise. They came back and they told him. Said it's everything God said it was. Come back with a cluster of grapes. Now, you've got a people here that are slaves. They're not used to making decisions on their own and being responsible for it. Can I tell you that when you need to make a decision on your own, you're responsible for it? Say amen, somebody. It's not our duty to pray you out of a headache, every toe ache that you've got. It's your duty to get up and fight and get your portion of the land, and it'll bless you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So now all of a sudden, they come back with a clump of grapes that two men holding between them. They're so big. Now, I don't know how grapes look to you, but I love grapes. If I go to the store and get grapes, I'm going to taste me one of them. Because I don't want no sour grapes. And if they sour, I won't buy it. And I'll leave them alone. Say, well, you stitching one. Yeah, but I'm taste testing. You know what I mean? And so as a result of it, they come back, and the blessing part is wonderful. Milk and honey flowing. You got a bunch of people, you don't even know what milk and honey is, maybe, coming out of Egypt. Used to eating leeks and garlic. And brother, they had to doubt those grapes had to be the most wonderful thing they've ever tasted in their life. They've had the quail. They've had the manna. And now God's given them the grapes and the honey and the land, and it's time for them to make up their mind. Friend, God has blessed you to be where you are today. He has blessed you with the health you got. You can walk, you can talk, you got a roof over your head. It's time to look up and holler, blessed be the name of the Lord for what God has done for me in the name of Jesus. Yes, I appreciate the teachings of pastors over here. Amen. It's wonderful teaching. Yes, I appreciate the testimony and the teaching of the Sunday school this morning. But when tomorrow and I'm off out by myself and I'm trying to enter into that promise of God and the devil is fighting you tooth and nail, hello, you got to make up your mind whose side you're on. You got to make up your mind whether you want it or not. You got to make up your mind how bad you want it in the name of Jesus. They can't always pray you out of it. Hello? As a result of it, they come back and look what they did, okay? They upset God. They begin to murmur, complain, even to the point of wanting to get a new pastor and go back to Egypt. Can you say amen? And bless your heart, when they do, God gets upset, and first he's going to kill them all. Start over. I remember we were in a travel trailer and had to teach the kids homeschooling. This was back before homeschooling was even known. We had looked and looked and looked for nearly 3-4 months and finally found a Becca book out in Texas to where we could take and stay on the evangelist field without the law coming and getting you and taking you in. And so bless your heart, I remember we come in one day and Gloria told me, said, if you'll go in there and teach kids their English, said, I'll take and cook us a hamburger right quick and then I'll come in and spell you, okay? I said, okay, I can do that. I went in there and I stayed about 5 to 6 minutes in there with them kids. And I come walking out of there and I said, look, I said, I'll tell you something. She said, what? I said, if you want to keep them kids alive, I said, you better go in there and teach them this English yourself. I said, I am ready to kill them, make some more like them, and see if we can't do a better job of raising them. English was not my math, and I'm fine with math. I don't know about this new math they got going. That's a lot of years ago for me. But as a result of it, she said, looked at me and laughed. She said, can you handle this hamburger? I can handle flipping that hamburger, can you say, amen? But I can't, amen. Now, God has gotten so irritated at them 10 times after they had seen the miracles of Egypt and what God did. They got a murmur and complain about water. Say amen. They got a murmur and complain about what they eat. Can you say amen, somebody? And now they got a murmur and complain because we come after the blessing and there's a giant over there. And he'll beat me up. He's bigger than I am. Hello? And he'll kill our wives and our children. Hello? And all of a sudden, God looked over and said, I have had enough. How many of you know there are times when God will cut you loose and let you have the desires of your heart even when they aren't his? Can you say amen? Some of y'all look at me funny now. I'm just telling you what the word says here. Now, as a result of it, immediately he says, you spent 40 days over there. Okay? Walk in the land. You know what it means. You know what it's going to take to get the job done. And you know what I've done in Egypt. You know what I brought you through 200 miles of territory for. And now all you want to do is murmur and complain and say, God can't do it. He said, guess what? You are going to get to wander in the wilderness 40 years, 1 year for every day that you moan and groan and complain. You're going to really find out what moaning and groaning and complaining really is. I mean, they're griping about quail and manna. Hey, I quail hunted for a lot of years. I love quail. The manna, honey, everybody likes good cookies and cakes. Can you say amen? And here their clothes aren't wearing out. Their shoes aren't wearing out. God got them under complete protection and provision, and they're griping about it. Does that sound Pentecostal to you? It's so far for me to get to church. Come on, somebody. Amen. Now, as a result of it, God said they're going to go back in the wilderness and they're going to really learn what meant. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, I was raised to the tune of a hickory stick. Okay? And let me tell you, I could be doing something and Daddy would tell me to do something and I'd want to put it off till I get through right here playing or whatever I'm doing. And he'd look over at me and say, he might tell me twice, okay, if he thought I didn't hear him right. But I didn't want to do it. And then he would say, go get me a hickory stick. And immediately, I got in obedience to Daddy. That hickory stick, when God takes it to you, change your thinking. I'm going through something. Who's not? It's not the fact you're going through it. It's the fact of why you're going through it. You had a chance to cross over and get there 40 years earlier, but no. You got to mumble and complain and gripe and growl. Hello? And wind up right back where you come. I see people come into service. God will touch them and give a promise to their life. He'll touch them and give them a healing. Before they get off the grounds out there, they're talking about how it's hurting again. Now, this is rough this morning, so hold on. Okay? Now, what is the problem? The problem not God. He's provided. The problem not the way taker, because the way is before us. They crossed it one time, they can cross it again. Can you say amen? And so the problem is that now we have moved it into the supernatural, and it's a different world. I believe Scotty preached on that, something like that, Sunday when I was here. Amen. Now, as a result of it, it has moved. Now, let me show you what I'm talking about, okay? As you look here, let me find where I'm at on my notes, okay? Verse 32. Chapter 13. They brought an evil report on the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people we saw there are men of great stature. Okay? Now, all of a sudden, for 400 years, it's been the greatest thing in the world. Hello? Milk and honey flowing, that is where I'm going. Canaan's land is just in sight. Say amen. And now all of a sudden, because there's a giant over there, it's the worst thing in the world ever happened to them. In fact, they made this statement later on, Song of Solomon. You brought us in, Moses, you brought us out here to die in this wilderness. Hey, Moses didn't bring, he didn't have no choice about it. Didn't say, man, he's the pastor. He's got to lead. He's got to go through it all just like they did. Didn't say, man, why is it when something goes wrong in a church, we won't blame the pastor? Hello? He's preaching with me over here in the corner hollering, that ain't my fault. Don't y'all think that, amen? Amen. I had a little story, and I'm sure y'all have heard it one time or other, but I was talking to some folks in a restaurant one night, and they had a couple of little fellas, and little fella was doing something, and it sort of embarrassed them a little bit. And I looked at, it didn't affect me. I've raised kids. I know what kids are like. Amen. And so, bless your heart, I looked over, and she looked over at him and said, and looked at us and said, he takes that after his daddy's side of the family. Amen? And he said, not my side, your side of the family. Oh, my amen. So here they are, and they're trying to put the blame where it don't belong. The fact of it is, if you just got up, took what little armor you had, and went over the creek, over the river, to the other side, God would have brought the walls down and give you the land 40 years. How many times I see people, they'll come to me, I've been seeking the Holy Ghost for 30 years. Hello? One lady down in Bessemer one night, I had preached on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. She come walking up, and I said, how long have you been seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost? And she said, off and on for 10 years. In my mind, I'm trying to figure out what this off and on stuff. Either you is or you ain't. Can you say amen? Amen. And all of a sudden, the Lord just let it drop into my mind that when she's at home, she's off. When she's in church and somebody wants to pray for her, she's on. We don't need those kind of warriors. We'll use them and God will bless them. Hello? But what we're looking for is for somebody that wants it bad enough that they stay on till they get it. Then she looked at me and she said, I've been prayed for a lot of time, but it didn't do no good. She said, but you can pray for me if you want to. I said, I don't want to. Go sit down. I mean, I can't waste my time just because you're on. Can you say amen? Now, aren't y'all proud of the pastors you got? Y'all be shouting the victory when you leave here this morning. Amen? And so now, I want you to look at a couple of things we got to look at here, okay? And the promised land, okay? Look on down in verse 24. And all of a sudden, it says that God takes and gives somebody a pass to go through the promised land. And it's Caleb. Hallelujah. Now, Caleb and Joshua have to go through it, but they're not responsible for it. It's amazing how Jesus is not responsible for the sin that we have on us, but he had to go through our lives, through our world, to give us the victory and the liberty of salvation. He suffered for you and I because of what we done. Now, Moses and Caleb and Joshua are suffering because of what these guys did out here, mumbling and coming and clapping and growling. Not only that, but their wives are in there with them. Their children are in there with them. Hello? And the children and the wife is having to bear the iniquity of the fathers. Read it for yourself. So you want to lay out a church? You just remember one thing. You got them little fellas, and one day you'll probably cry your heart out wanting them to get involved in the church when they're bearing the iniquity of what you sowed and what you created but not going to church. Okay? I'll leave that on you, okay? Now, as a result of it now, but notice here what he says about Caleb. Okay. Verse 24, 14. Chapter 14, verse 24. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him. Okay. And had followed me fully, him will I bring into the land where he went, and his seed shall possess it. In other words, his seed hadn't got the iniquity, just the journey. They hadn't got the punishment on it. Now, a lot's been said about generational curse, amen? I personally have a little different view on that. I believe if you do it, Junior's watching you, he's going to do it too. Praise the Lord. Now, what I want you to catch is that he had, now I'm telling you what the word says here, okay? He had another spirit with him. It didn't say he was possessed of it. He didn't say it was inside of him, but he brought it with him. When you come to church, bring the right spirit with you, and we won't have to sing to you as long before you get you up and get you shouting. Can you say amen, somebody? Well, I tell you what, I just barely made it to mine. Yeah, we recognize that old spirit. You brought it with you. You're the only one in church now. You're trying to contaminate everybody with it. That's what happened. That's what happened. They got up and reported it, and that old spirit that they brought back with them out of the Canaan's land, but it contaminated everybody there, and now the church is tore up. They're hunting a new pastor to go back to Egypt. They cake, and we're getting to the good part here in a minute, of what happened as a result of it. Amen. Make sure you have the right spirit with you. Now, we know that we have a guardian angel that goes with us. This past Saturday night was a week ago. I should have died in that car wreck. I come away from there without a scratch on my head. Not even a sore place from anything. Tore the whole front end of my car off, totaled the car, and for the past week, let me get my Saturday nights right. It's Saturday night before that, I think, 2 weeks ago. And as a result of it, I should have died. If he had If I had been just 3 foot further over, it would have ripped my legs off and my body off. God is good. Amen. Well, you know what? I had a wreck. Now I got a fool getting another car. Hello, somebody. That means I got to get out. I mean, you can only look at them so long on the internet. And if you're wise and look at them on the internet, you better go check them out anyhow. Can you say amen? Find out. I've always approached that thing is, I know I'm going to get beat. It's just a matter of how bad. Can you say amen? And all of a sudden, I go out and I find that thing out there, that blessing out there. And for quite some while now, I have noticed that at night, I can't see quite as good to drive as I could when I was 16. Do I hear any amens? Okay. And so I've been thinking, the car lights on the old car was, I've had it for 10 years or so, and so it was a car lights out of the ancient stone age, let's put it that way. And the other night I was going home and I thought, Lord, I can see that road. And I got to thinking about it and looking, and I got them bright lights on that one out there. Them kind that blind you. So the next time you meet a bright set of lights coming at you and you're fussing about it, just remember it might be me. So pray for that dude. Can you say that? And I thought, Lord, right in the middle, here's my blessing. Can you say amen? Here's my blessing. I can get where I'm going at night quicker and better. Amen. How many of you old folks understand that? Yeah, amen. Now, as a result of it now, he said, Caleb has got a spirit he brought with it. At the same time, the demonic kingdom is the same structure that God's kingdom is. You got powers, principalities, so on down the line. Can you say amen? And therefore, you have got a demonic spirit assigned to you. I didn't say you got it in you. But that thing follows you around, and he watches you. And he knows just what it takes to get your motor running. Hello? And at the right time, he'll punch that right button. I can't make it this morning. I'm out of gas. I can't do this. I can't do that. Hallelujah. I went through a period of time, and this is several years back, but had to preach, and every time I had to preach, Gloria and I would get into it about something. That wasn't the amen I was looking for, sister. But that I understand where that one's coming from, amen? Or their kids would do something to upset me. Or some idiot in Alabama that didn't know how to drive would try to run over me. One Wednesday morning, I had went to work, but we had been into it over something. I don't even remember what it was. Wednesday night, I come walking in. I said, it's Wednesday night, time for church. She said, we can't go to church like this. Said, everybody down there will know we're into it about it. And I said, of course, last week was their week and we knew about it, didn't we? I said, we're going to church. Can you say amen? How many of you know you can go to church mad, but you can't come back home mad? Can you say amen? And so he said, what kind of spirit that these people got that's wishy-washy, up and down. One day it's the blessed, woo! The next day it's got a fight, oh, pray for me, I can barely make it. Now this is getting rough, okay? But y'all just remember one thing, I get to leave when it's over, he's got to clean up the mess. Can you say amen? And so, what kind of spirit have you got? Yes, sir, I believe that demonic spirit knows exactly what turns your button on and what don't. Hello? Jesus got out, went through the crowd, made one statement, preached a message, and all the crowd got upset with him and ready to throw him off of a cliff. The Bible said that their wrath, that means their blood pressure went up, their head turned red, hello, and they lost their cool and said things and done things they wasn't intend to. That devil knows where to hit you at. And brother, if as my brother was talking about worry, it's common sense, the knowledge to prepare and plan for your family and things of that nature. That's part of what man is. Can you say amen? God plans for you, doesn't he? Okay. Now, the thing I've got to do is I've got to do everything I can to work it without the devil getting glory out of it. And while I sit around and worry about it all the time, the devil's getting the glory and God's not. So they went over and they looked at the blessing of God and they said, it's not a blessing. It's milk and honey. It's the Canaan's land. But it's not a blessing. If it was a blessing, God would just give it to me and I wouldn't have to fight for it. Amen, somebody. And right in the middle of it, just like I told that lady, you can pray for me if you want to. I don't want to. Waste my time. Hallelujah. Find me somebody that needs some help or that I can help and minister to them. Amen. Because I have found out a long time ago, you can't make nobody do what they want to do. You can't stop them from it if they want to do it bad enough. Lock on your door don't mean nothing if somebody wants in bad enough. It's amen. And you can drive as careful as you know how, and some idiot come across the hill running 3 times the speed limit and tear the front end off of your car. Okay. And so I look around and I say, let the right spirit. David said it well, didn't he? He said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. How do you know, David? He said, because I leave some behind me everywhere I go. Can you say amen, somebody? Now Caleb looked around and said, it's mercy, it's goodness, it's the power of God. If he did it in Egypt, he can do it here. If he did it them 10 times, we can do it now. Let's go get them, boys. No, we got to worry about our children. We don't want them, that giants, to kill them. But we'll let them suffer in the wilderness because we wouldn't go over and fight. Can you say amen, somebody? Some years ago, Jeff was about so high. And we were roaming around the edges. He was sick that night, and Gloria and I laid hands on him and prayed for him. And it took about 3 days, and God finally broke through and healed him. Okay? And so about a week or two later, I was thinking on that. Terrence, somebody, I said, and we prayed for him in faith, and God healed him. And the Lord spoke to me just as plain as anything in the world. He said, it wasn't your faith that healed him. He said, I knew you were so stupid that you'd let him die believing God for it. And I healed him to save him. Hello, somebody. How many of you know you can't overstep the boundaries of God? Oh, that went over like a lead balloon, didn't it? All right, let's finish up here, okay? Now, what is the big deal about the promised land? Well, number one, and the scriptures are here, he had them in that land for one reason. Original creation was designed that the entire earth be covered with the glory of the Lord. Okay? Now, my theory on this is a little different than most people. But between Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, God created perfection. This world had a series, and Lucifer was the Lord of it all. He established his churches. He established his kingdom. He established that had a third of the angels. They were there for one thing, and that is to come into the sanctuary and praise and magnify God and lift up the glory of God, that the world around them would be covered with the knowledge and the glory of God. Oh, y'all looking at me funny now. Yep, I got Bible for it. Hallelujah. And Lucifer decided that he wanted to be the head concho. Amen. And then the world became void. Go look at that word before, okay, in the Hebrew. That word could easily have been translated another different way. Was and before. Hallelujah. And because of Lucifer taking control of it, we got idol worship. We got murder, envy, strife multiplying. Okay? But God said, and God spoke again and said, let there be. And he created this thing and put us in charge of it. You have read that part, haven't you? He put us in charge of it. So now, who has the ministry of Lucifer? Okay? He was number one. He was to bring glory unto God Almighty. He said, I won't do it. And guess who got the ministry? We did. We got the keys. We got the music. We got the sanctuary. We got the power. We got the anointing for one reason, and that is to cover the earth with the glory of the knowledge of the Lord God Almighty, that all the world can see the glory of our God. Can you say amen? So we got it all. So let's just use it. Now, what they did, they took, and let me find where I'm at here, okay? Now, 14 verse 34, and after the number of the days in which you search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, you shall bear the iniquities. You shall bear your iniquities. There are some folks that you can't pray it out of, pray them out of it. Hello? I used to be disturbed a whole lot when I prayed for somebody. I can sense in my spirit when I pray for you whether something happens or not. You preachers know what I'm talking about. Amen. Amen. I can sense it in my spirit. And sometimes you lay hands on a head, somebody that gives you the even to the tears, and they crying, and you want to help them, and you go to lay hands on them. I went to lay hands on a lady one night, and God said, don't you touch her. I jerked my hand back. He said, you tell her that she's got to straighten up some things in her life before I bless her again. Amen. I told her, well, I ain't done nothing. And about 4 o'clock the next morning, they were knocking on my door. And her husband pushed her in the door, said, tell him. Said, tell him what? And I'm half asleep. And then she began to unload it, and God touched her and blessed her and brought her forth into what he wanted her to be in the name of Jesus. Amen. For 40 years, they can't get out of there. They can't get nobody out of there. They can't just go in there and get them and bring them out. They're there for 40 years. All because they got to serve for their iniquity. Aren't you thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ? Aren't you thankful for the grace of God that when we mess up, we can go to him and repent of it with a broken heart, a contrite spirit, and he'll forgive us and restore us, even coming from the hog pen. You can be restored in the name of Jesus. And say amen. Amen. All right. Like I said, we're going to try to finish this up here. Okay. Look in verse 36. And the men which Moses sent to search out the land who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander on the land. Now the book of Revelation tells you and I that even creation is waiting for one thing, and that's the manifestation of the sons of God, that it could be relieved of this curse. Can you say amen? Psalms teaches us that even the leaves and the trees clap their hands and praise and magnify God Almighty. All of creation magnifies God. Can you say amen? And here they bring a slander upon the land by refusing to go over there and conquer it and make it what God wants it to be. The word slander, hello, okay, in context, it is a negative report, defamation. In other words, it's saying God can't take us through it. My brother made a statement about doubt during the Sunday school lesson, okay? When you leave faith and move into doubt, you move into a different kingdom, okay? and you had to play by different rules. In this kingdom over here that you move into called doubt, you've got to win it, but you can only win it through by God's way. Did you say amen? You can't work yourself out of it, because you start trying to work yourself out of it, it's get worse and worse, and them spirits begin to draw each other, and the next thing you got more problems you ever dreamed of having. Young man come to me and he was complaining, him and his wife hadn't been married but about 3 or 4 months, and he was complaining about her and all that sort of stuff. Then I looked over at him, I said, well, son, I said, that don't say much for your mentality. Oh, the times you choose to jump in. Amen. And he said, what do you mean? I said, well, you can't be very bright or you wouldn't have married her to start with. She was like that before you married her. What'd you marry her for? Can you say amen? He said, oh, I never thought of it that way. I said, well, work on you and let God work on both of you and y'all be all right. How many of you know if you love each other, you can make it? Ain't a mountain so high you can't get over it, a valley so low you can't get through it in the name of Jesus. Now, what they have done is they have looked and said, what God is it worth fighting for? How many people right now walk down to the altars, not here, but all over the land, and take and make dedications to God and walk out of here with full intention of you laying your hands on it and giving it to them? They will not fight the battle. Hello, what did Brother Scotty say a while ago in the offering? Give, fight the battle, put something in there, turn it loose. The writer said, cast your bread upon the water, and after many days it'll return unto you. I dissected that. I went on word by word Hebrew study on it. Let me tell you, it means you throw it out there, and it goes forth, and warfare is a warfare out yonder against the devil. And at the right time, God will bring it back to you victorious, and it'll be a blessing to you. That's what it means to give, to cast out. Amen? So hang in there with it. Amen. All right. I keep finishing. This is the third time I finished it up. Y'all notice that? I got to get where I'm going here, okay? Now, as you look, the Bible here, the Lord says, trying to find where I'm going at. Slander upon report. Okay. That's not what I'm looking for. He looks and he talks. Get your verse going with it. Hallelujah. Okay, they brought a report upon the land. But the 40 years involves a breach of my promise. That's what it said. God said, they've found my blessings. They've seen my miracles. They've seen what I've done. But now they have slandered it. They had brought a reproach upon my honor and my glory. They are going to know what a breach of promise is. That they've experienced my blessing, now the breach of promise. The word breach means a separation. In other words, if there's a breach in mine and Brother Scotty's relationship, don't want to have nothing to do with him. How many know that's what happens in a divorce? Amen. A breach of you separate yourself. Don't want to have nothing to do with it. And God said, now they're going to find out what it's like and suffer their own iniquity, and maybe they will learn. And he sent them back in the wilderness. Now, you say, Brother Day, they got the promise 40 years later. God's timetable was upset for 40 years because all they wanted to do is moan and groan and gripe about what God was doing for them. Say amen, somebody. 40 years earlier, Caleb had to wait 40 years on his mountain because of them. But he never gave up, never lost his faith. In that 40 years, that giant had 3 more sons and built 3 more cities up there. So now when he goes back, he's got to whip 4 of them instead of 3 of them, 1 of them. Can you say amen? The devil just don't sit around in his kingdom while you moaning and groaning about while God's not doing for you. He's active. So it's always better to just go ahead and gather up your sword and go get them. You see? That's literally what my brother was saying this morning about worrying. Hey, it's there. I can't help the birds flying over my head, but I don't have to let them build a nest in my hair. Hey, devil, if you're going to get this, you're going to go through me in the name of Jesus. Can you say amen, somebody? So what are we saying here through all this? Number one, obedience is better than sacrifice. It's not how long you fast. It's not how much you pray. It's that when your moment comes, you step out and obey God. You ready to cross over in the promised land? Then gather up your sword and get step across that river. I thought it was so amusing that when Joshua took them across, God made a specific way for them to go. But now they can choose their own way to get across that river. Okay? They can swim, they can walk, just get across. Amen? How many of you know that he has the keys to the dungeon that holds people? I mean, how many of you know he gave us the keys? My problem is just figuring out which key fits what lock. And that's where I got to have him to let you know which key. Now, God has got to move on the horizon for you guys like y'all have never seen before. Amen. It's going to change some destinies. It's going to change some lives. And it's going to create new ministries in the structure of the church. New people are going to have to reach up and get the anointing and walk in it to get the job done. There are no little I's and big U's. Somebody told me not one time, said, problem in the church is there are too many chiefs and not enough Indians. I said, nonsense. You never get too many chiefs. I said, you just got too many that thinks they're chiefs when they're not. Can you say amen? It makes a difference. And God's going to take, and you're going to find out all this teaching that you've been having for these years that Brother Scotty has been over you is going to be there. And you apply them principles, and you're going to see God give you the promised land like never before. Milk and honey flowing in the name of Jesus. Can you say amen, somebody? Do you love him this morning? Come on, give him a hand of appreciation. Hallelujah. Heads are bowed. Father, I've ministered your word.